Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, April the 20th. And it's going to be a beautiful day, and it should be an interesting hour as we welcome in investigative reporter Greg Pallast. We last talked to Greg following the publication of his book, Armed Madhouse. But now it's being released in paperback with two new chapters, The Theft of 2008 and Busted, the Untold Story of the Drowning of New Orleans. We'll talk about those new stories and get Greg Pallast's take on other issues in the news. You're welcome to join in, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email, talk at WPR.org. Greg Pallast will be in Madison this weekend. He will be talking and signing his book at the Barrymore Theater in Madison on Sunday, this Sunday, April the 22nd, at 7 o'clock. I'll give you some more information on that appearance in just a bit, but let me welcome in Greg Pallast, journalist, investigative reporter. His reports appear in Harper's Magazine, and he's frequently seen on BBC's Newsnight and Democracy Now. He is the author of several books, including Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. Good morning.
Hey, Joy, glad to be with you. A gorgeous day out there. I'm glad you've invited me into town.
Oh, it's going to be a wonderful weekend, too. I think it's still going to be nice on Sunday. I hope for your sake it is. So you say that these two new chapters are just for Karl Rove.
Yeah, actually, this is one I can't make up, Joy. Mm-hmm. On the House Judiciary Committee released a bunch of Rove's emails, and on February 7th of this year, his team wrote this email saying, gloating that the U.S. media has not picked up the investigations of that British reporter, Greg Pallast. And they attached an excerpt. This is really good. To me, it's the best blurb. They attached an excerpt of Armed Madhouse.
Well, wait a minute.
And they wrote like three of these, like, haha, no one's heard from Greg of the British report. And you can tell from my lack of a Henry Higgins accent, I ain't British, Carl. I just report for the BBC. The reports are in exile, but the boy ain't.
So are you an American?
Yeah, I'm a Merkin. I'm a L.A. Kid, a surfer kid, and that's the funny thing. But of course, and so now you've broken the Karl Rove omerta. But it's funny because I'm looking at the front pages of the paper today. They're concerned about a lot of reports in our madhouse. Maybe not concerned because they say no one's reading them. But
well, I'm trying to. How did this email not get deleted along with the 5 million other emails?
I don't think they thought. Again, I don't think they're concerned. They say this guy doesn't get picked up. Mm-hmm. By the way, I have 500 of those missing emails, and I kid you not.
You really?
And one of them is in the book, actually.
Well, what is it?
And that's one of the things they were concerned about, actually. Mm-hmm. Not concerned, but or laughing that they kind of got away with it, which is I have a note from Karl Rove's right-hand guy, or hitman, depending on your view of things. And his name is Tim Griffin. What happened was, first of all, these are not people talk about the great evils sometimes of the administration or something, the opponents, but these aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer. And they missent some emails, which I was able to gather up, about 500. Several of them, one dated just before the 2004 election, laid out a scheme for challenging the votes of several hundred thousand voters. Obviously they're going after Democrats, mm-hmm. but the easiest thing to do, of course, they were challenging black voters. And here's the creepy side. And this is one of the things in our madhouse that is the creepy side, which is that they were targeting, and you'll love this, black soldiers. And the system, they call it, they created what they call caging lists. And BBC confronted them with the caging list. It was black soldiers, men who lived in homeless shelters, and students. We confront them and said, what are these names that you have on these lists? And I said, those are the Bush campaign donors. And I said to the Republican spokeswoman, I said, lot of Bush donors at the homeless shelter in Jacksonville, like, you know, page after page of guys in homeless shelters. But what they did for the soldiers, they sent the soldiers, the men, the homeless shelter students letters, knowing that students would be away, homeless don't get their mail, and soldiers, of course, are in Baghdad. Mm-hmm. And so when they send them letters, do not forward, they get returned. The return letters are then used as evidence. In Florida alone, 70,000 names, several hundred thousand nationwide. Wisconsin, by the way, was a target state. And what they did was, they, when the letters came back undelivered, they went to state or county officials who were sympathetic and said, knock these people off the voter rolls. Or in the case of the soldiers, for example, one was named Randall Prowse. We contacted his home. He sent in an absentee ballot from overseas, naval airman, African-American. When his vote came in, it was challenged because he supposedly didn't live where he claimed he lived, that it, and he lost his vote. They threw it away. But, Mr. President, if you're a soldier and you're sent overseas, you're still allowed to vote. Even if you're a black soldier, you're allowed to vote. And it was not minor. I mean, altogether, the Republican Party challenged about 3 million votes. No one's seen anything like that since the Jim Crow era, and about 1.1 million of those votes were thrown out. Just, you know, because soldiers know that their vote's challenged.
Yeah. Let me, we're going to check our weather forecast and welcome in callers for Greg Palast. After the weather, we'll talk with Greg Palast about how he says the GOP has already stolen the 2008 election, and talk about his strategy for you to not let his prediction happen. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. Two guests from different perspectives talking with you about the news of the week. We're talking with Greg Palast this hour. He is investigative journalist, author. His latest book, Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. And, Greg, our listeners are so smart. Kelly in River Falls has the question that I was just going to ask you. So, Kelly, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm wondering if you think that the firings of the attorneys was part of this Republican White House strategy to take the Congress and the White House by stopping investigations into the Duke Cunningham matter and other corruption and focus it on Democrats to try and take their positions away by, you know, putting a little taint on them. And then just a big picture question, do you think that the president should be impeached?
Are you some, Kelly, are you some type of conspiracy nut?
Yeah, Michael Moore is on my
actually,
table.
I'm a conspiracy expert, so you're right. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, actually, I'm not going to talk about impeachment because it's a straight-up partisan question, but the real issue is what's going on with the prosecutors. This guy Tim Griffin that I told you about, the right-hand man of Rove, who was machine gunning the civil rights of literally hundreds of thousands of African Americans in the last election. By the way, that story was the top of the BBC Nightly News. It was all over the planet. People were stunned, but it didn't quite make it to the U.S. as Rove said. This guy Tim Griffin is, guess what? He's not in leg irons today. He is the U.S. prosecutor he's the U.S. attorney for Arkansas. When they fired the eight honest U.S. attorneys, no one's been talking about who they put in.
No, so Tim Griffin is one of them.
Yeah,
right?
And I was just talking to a voting rights attorney, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., actually, and he was saying, you know, Greg, you know, your reports, what these guys did, you cannot target black folk. That's 1965 Voting Rights Act. That's a breaking rocks on the chain gang felony crime. He said this guy should be in leg irons. And I said, well, they just turned, you know, perpetrators into prosecutors. That's a good system. So yeah, I mean, this is right to the center of the story. And in fact, in our madhouse, not only do I have the Griffin letter as U.S. attorney, but I spoke to one of the fired U.S. attorneys just before he was fired. It's in the book. And my conversation with him was so surreal that I actually put in the transcript part of it because We had all in several states, a bunch of legislators, and this includes Wisconsin, held up pieces of paper and said, we have evidence of voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people voting twice and stealing identities, all in these various states, all at the same time. You know, and I smelled Karl Rove right away. And so I talked to one of the legislators in New Mexico. Her name is Justine Fox Young. That's her real name, Fox Young. And I said, well, could you show me those papers? And, of course, no. I said, yeah, can't show me the papers. He's waving them like Joe McCarthy. And so instead, she said, oh, well, these people are being prosecuted by the U.S. attorney. I said, really? So I called the office of David Iglesias and said, I can't find cases of voter fraud. I've been looking all over the country for cases of people voting twice. I see political parties and politicians wiping out votes, but I don't see voters running in to vote twice and stealing identities to do that, because you go to jail for that, right?
Mm.
And I said, so are you grabbing someone? Are you investigating someone? He said, no. I said, wait a minute. Are you calling your fellow Republicans liars? And silence, right? And I said, well, I'll take that as a yes. What I didn't realize is that he was at that moment, he was in absolute battle with Karl Rove and his peeps about who wanted him, just like in Wisconsin, they wanted the U.S. Attorney in New Mexico to start arresting people on phony charges of voter fraud. They want to take like two guys named, you know, they want to take someone named Juan Gonzalez and say he voted twice, when in fact there's, you know, like eight guys named Juan Gonzalez in New Mexico. And it's not surprising that two of them vote. So they wanted them to create these charges and create hysteria. And Iglesias, who's a strong Republican, that was a protege of Ashcroft, would not involve himself in what he saw as literally not just a bad prosecution, but involve himself in a criminal conspiracy. And I realize he's talking to me, and he's digging his own professional grave, because, of course, I do put it in the book, and now we do know that Karl Rove does read my book, Our Madhouse, and, you know, I mean, he was marked for execution right there.
Yeah, a lot of people in Wisconsin were watching, listening to those hearings with Gonzalez yesterday because of the Wisconsin connection and the allegations of voter fraud, and was the U.S. attorney in Milwaukee pursuing them aggressively enough, those cases aggressively enough? He apparently, Steve Biskupic, the U.S. attorney in Milwaukee, was put on the list of attorneys that apparently weren't doing a good enough job pursuing these cases.
Right, but see, there were no cases. They mm-hmm. were being shoved fake. You have to understand, there were no cases. And that's what Iglesias was objecting to.
Mm-hmm.
They're waving around papers and wanting these guys to do phony investigations and phony busts and impanel grand juries for crimes that didn't exist. I've been looking around. We had one Arizona legislator who said, you'll see in the new chapter in Our Madhouse, The Theft of 08, who ran out and said 5 million illegal aliens are voting in the United States. I said, you mean that they, like, swam across the Rio Grande just to vote for Hillary Clinton? I said, okay, you said 5 million, buddy. Show me 5.
Yeah. Talk a little bit. Actually, thank you very much, Kelly. I'm going to go to
Thanks.
Another caller who's waiting on a similar issue, I think. Stephen LaCrosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering what your guests thought of Republican efforts, and I am a Republican. I'm troubled by the push for this voter ID bill. Our legislature seems obsessed with that, with the Republican majority in the Assembly. They keep pushing it, even though they know it cannot pass with Doyle as governor, won't pass the Senate now, but it keeps pushing and pushing and pushing this issue for a problem that seems minor in my estimation. There might be a few people in Milwaukee voting illegally. It always happens in major urban areas. But what is it with Karl Rove and the Republicans on this issue? And a follow-up, is Karl Rove going to be the mastermind behind the next Republican president?
I see, Stephen, that you have read an advanced copy of the new section of Armed Madhouse, which you're not allowed to have yet until Sunday when it's released. It'll be released, by the way, nationwide in Madison.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what they're up to. The idea was to create this hysteria that you need IDs. In the 2004 election, 300,000 people, and I didn't personally count them, this was done by the federal government, the Elections Assistance Commission, 300,000 people were turned away from the polls because they had wrong ID. Now, does that mean 300,000 people were illegally trying to vote? No, no. They didn't like the face on your driver's license. They didn't like your signature. They didn't like your address. But probably in places like New Mexico, they didn't like your color. That's no kidding.
Yeah.
And what happened was...
These are people that had photo IDs and they were turned away from the polls?
Oh, you have no idea. Yeah. Well, take a look at your license. Does it have a middle initial and your registration doesn't, or vice versa? They can play all kinds of games, and they did in places like the like what's called Little Texas, New Mexico. George Bush supposedly won by 6,000 votes in New Mexico, but 30,000 votes were turned away, cast not counted. What they do is they'll give you a so-called provisional ballot. We don't like your ID. Here's a provisional ballot. You think, oh, things are fine. And they said, we'll check it out later. You're fine. They throw away more than one out of three provisional ballots. Just throw them away.
Because...
Now, so what's happened in – so Roe, this whole point of ginning up these FACO investigations and FACO charges of voter ID theft or identity theft, voting twice, is to create this new ID laws, which will take the number of people turned away from the polls from 300,000 to 900,000. That's the entire plan. And that is exactly what's going to happen. We're going to go from 300,000 to 900,000 people turned away from the polls for so-called wrong ID. And overwhelmingly, just like the purge list, et cetera, where we look at something like 80% minority turn away, you're going to see the same thing with ID cards. Because, by the way, one of the IDs that you can use in most states that have this is a passport. Well, who gets passports? You know, people that come from the ghetto. A lot of people, by the way, don't have birth certificates. Who are poor in the rural South, for example, and people born at home, legal citizens who came from Mexico, from Mexican heritage, don't have birth certificates, etc. I mean, so basically, they know who's going to get clonged by this. And I really appreciate that Stephen is a Republican. I'm not partisan. I don't care which rich white guy gets elected president. What I'm concerned with is that the votes are counted and people be allowed to vote. And that's why I do these investigations. But, though I have to say, giving the impression to people that the book is all about the theft of the election. By the way, there is a section, How to Steal Back Your Vote. It does go from New Orleans to Baghdad, Iraq, all these other matters. But I'm glad that people are especially right now with the U.S. prosecutor story, focusing on this matter of maybe we don't count all the votes in America.
Yeah, we have to take a news break in just a minute. One tip to steal back your vote, Greg Pallast.
Don't mail it in. Don't go postal. If you think these guys are going to muck with computers and everything else, and then you mail them your vote, let me tell you, in most states, kiss it goodbye. You send in that ballot, put on that stamp. Do you know where your vote is? It's 10 p.m. Where is your vote? They know from your zip code who you're voting for and whether and they can decide whether it slips behind the file cabinet. Don't mail in your vote, guys. Don't.
We will check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Greg Pallast, investigative reporter, author, several books, including Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sword Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. Didn't know this, but the national release of the updated version of this book, now in paperback, two new chapters, will be in Madison this Sunday when Greg is at the Barry Moore Theater. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Greg Pallast, who is an investigative reporter and the author of a number of books. You might remember him from The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. His latest book is Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sword Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. It's been updated, a couple of new chapters, and he will be in Madison during the national release of the book on Sunday, April 22nd, this Sunday at 7 o'clock at the Barry Moore Theater for a talk and book signing. You can talk to him right now, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We have been focusing a lot of our conversation on some of the themes of his newest chapter in this book, The Scheme to Steal 2008, how the GOP has already stolen 2008. But you're saying, Greg Palast, that that does not have to be the case?
No. Look, by my calculation, which comports with Bobby Kennedy, we're looking at, say, 4.5 million votes will be shoplifted. So, Joy, just vote 5 million times.
Vote early and vote often.
I mean, there's some simple things like, you know, like don't mail in your ballot. Also, as Stephen the Republican says, what's all this ID law stuff? You know, so first, let's get rid of the Jim Crow impediments, you know, that don't say no blacks here, but just like the poll tax mean no minorities voting, no low-income people voting. And when we talk about race, it's really kind of a class issue. My investigation shows if you don't got money, the chance your vote won't count is quite high. I mean, just, you know, and in Wisconsin, there were a lot of challenges to votes in uncounted provisional ballots in the last election. You had guys in, you know, at minority polls with little Blackberries, with these challenge lists, challenging voters who are then handed what are called provisional ballots. Don't accept the provisional ballot. It's a baloney ballot. It's a placebo ballot. It ain't a real ballot. It ain't, you know, when you're in kindergarten, you voted for class president. You know, Mrs. Jones didn't say, no, Johnny, you get a provisional ballot. Your hand doesn't count. Forget the provisionals. Get a vote. Get a ballot. So, I mean, there's lots of tricks, simple things. You know, if we can drop democracy from a B-52 in the Mideast, I think we can bring it to Wisconsin.
Let me go to Bob in Verona. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. Greg, you had mentioned about the federal attorneys. Were you aware that, you know, that woman that was afraid to testify that worked for Gonzalez, that she didn't want to incriminate herself? It's my understanding that she is a graduate of Pat Robertson's law school. And that there's over that Bush, who is so interested in quality education, he hired over 100 attorneys that graduated from that law school, and they're rated at the bottom.
Well, I have to tell you, I talked to the Reverend Pat about this myself, really. And yes, by the way, you're talking about Margaret Dilling, and who resigned rather than answer questions. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the people who was gloating. At least she's read Our Madhouse, so I got to give her credit. She was gloating that no one else is reading it. But, yeah, there's all these people who graduated from what is laughingly called the law school set up by Pat Robertson, and they are, there's probably more guys from there than from Harvard Law in this administration. And, yeah, this is one of the problems. It's politicizing the process that we need to protect ourselves. I mean, when we talk about the Justice Department, justice, you know, the lady with the blindfold and the scales, she's not supposed to know what party you're from. And that's the whole point. You know, there's a law against obstructing justice. This is obstructing the Justice Department. And in fact, these calls for Gonzalez make me very nervous because it's scapegoating.
Calls for his firing or resignation?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I used to be, before I went to was investigative reporter, I was an investigator and used to do racketeering cases. And I bring charges against people who guilty of the crime of willful failure to know. Bring against crime bosses and corporate bad guys who say, I don't know what's going on. Don't tell me what you're doing, but just do it. And that's what Gonzalez did. And that was those weird meetings where he's told, but he's not told what's going on. It's mm-hmm. willful failure to know. And therefore, obviously, it's a very serious business. So he's responsible. But on the other hand, the whole scheme was being engineered out of the White House, not out of the Justice Department. And once again, just like Libby took the bullet for the outing of the CIA agent's name, Plame, there's, you know, that they're letting, as to use a phrase of Richard Nixon, who tried to use his attorney general to take all the bullets in Watergate, said, let him twist slowly in the wind. Remember that if you look at the papers today, the harshest comments about Gonzalez all come from Republicans. In other words, the White House, Rove called the Republicans and said, you've, you know, we've got the lamb, you guys take the shots.
Well, let me have you react to at least the content of what Alberto Gonzalez said yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Here's a short statement.
It would be improper to remove a U.S. attorney to interfere with or influence a particular prosecution for partisan political gain. I did not do that. I would never do that.
You know, do you think that's true?
No, he didn't. I agree with him. He didn't do it. He let Karl Rove do it, which is even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I go back to Iglesias, whom I spoke to and had his head put in the block, as you'll see in our mass. I mean, he wouldn't bring the what they want to do is bring prosecutions. He's playing games with the words, interfere with a prosecution that's ongoing. What he was doing with Rove in the White House was engineering prosecutions that shouldn't have happened. And you have one of the nastier cases in Wisconsin. They were using the Justice Department as a political hit squad, as opposed to a law enforcement agency.
Yeah. Did you? We had a report last week that they have this new system, and you talk about it in your new chapter, where you're supposed to have you can compare the names of felons or people in on one list to who actually voted. And they found 82 in Wisconsin, which people point out isn't a tremendous amount. Whereas felons can vote in Wisconsin once they've served their sentence, but they cannot if they're still on parole or probation.
Well, I'll tell you something. This is what they want to do. They want to take a bunch of lists of names, like Juan Gonzalez and Jesse Jackson, of which there are about 40,000 black folk with that name in America. I'm not making that number up. And what they want to do is say someone named John Smith in Utah was convicted of a crime, and now he's on a list. This is the old game that they did in Florida that I busted open in 2000. In fact, actually, you know, people who don't know Greg Palast. I'm the reporter that broke the story about how Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush removed thousands of people from the voter rolls, calling them felons when their only crime was voting while black. They're trying that. Instead of that system being done, that's being expanded. And so what I found in Florida is that what they did was they came up with a list of 97,000 people, not 97 or 82, 97,000 people, and what they did is basically they found a bunch of common black names. And among those names, you will find people with common birthdays. This is just statistical probability. And as I said to the Attorney General of Florida, I said, man, you got a list of people registering and voting illegally. Bust them. It's a crime. Just like Karl Rove said, go and arrest these people. And the answer from the Attorney General of Florida is the answer of the U.S. Attorney of New Mexico. It's not a crime to have to share a name with someone who committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's not against the law. People do not vote illegally. We're not finding that. And if we find it, we will arrest them. I asked the Attorney General of Florida, out of 97,000 people, why didn't he just go out and arrest them? After all, he has their names and addresses. It's pretty easy. He said, because these aren't criminals. I said, do you have any open cases? He says, we're looking into six. Six. And they brought none. Because and that's what I keep challenging. Where are these people? Just like your honest prosecutors who lost their jobs. You know, yes, show us voters voting illegally, we will arrest them. We're not going to arrest people just because they have common names and they're the wrong color.
We're talking with Greg Palast. He is coming to Wisconsin this weekend. He'll be at the Barrymore Theater in Madison on Sunday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. It is the day that his updated book, Armed Madhouse, will be released. From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sword Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. You can talk with him, ask him anything you want, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. After 8, it's our Friday Week in Review, and after 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's Ben Marins for your views on the news. Right now we're getting Greg Palast's views on the news, and Les in Barneveld is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a very serious concern. A few months ago, HBO did a documentary on the new vote ballot scanners. and how easily they were able to be changed. And I have a concern that whoever pays the largest amount of money to the company that services these can be able to steal an election, and I just would like to have your comment on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm laughing about it. It's so mm-hmm. grim, but you either cry or laugh, so I'll choose to laugh. In our Madhouse, people, when you get rid of the computer screens, those little black boxes, that doesn't mean that you put an end to computer voting, because still if you use scanners and other things, that these, in many states like New Mexico, and they're trying to spread it, the totals, the ballots are read, and gathered, that information is gathered electronically through modems to a central computer run by a private company. And we'd like to hope that our votes influence this private company's decision about who's won. But I did find in New Mexico someone, we had a whistleblower who dropped out the back door of the vote tallying company there from the 2004 election. You'll see right in our Madhouse a photocopy of a tally sheet from one of these private companies tallying optical readers. And in several precincts, the name, you had George Bush total, you had Ralph Nader total, Cobb total, but John Kerry was missing from the lines. It was literally expunged. Just, you know, I suppose it was a glitch, but it just happened to always be Kerry that was knocked off the tallies in several precincts. And unless someone dropped off the tape to you out the back door, like they did with me, you wouldn't know. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, we literally are privatizing the vote count, and it's not public. And at least with the paper ballot and the scanner, if someone screams loud enough, and you can actually eyeball those ballots and have a chance, as opposed to something which is purely electronic. But nevertheless, the fact that you can't see the computer in the voting booth doesn't mean that a computer isn't tallying the vote and that computer isn't being toyed with.
So, Greg Pallast, this isn't working so well for the GOP, considering the results of last fall's election, though, right?
Well, I mean, you can't steal all the votes mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, Democrats are guilty of some of these games, too. I want to make sure that people understand it's bipartisan. It's just that the Republicans mm-hmm. are a lot better at it. They learned how to use computers faster. And after all, as we're looking at the kind of playing games with about 4.5 million votes in the 2008 election. So just vote 5 million times. We saw in the midterm. Now there are definitely six congressional races, I can tell you, that where the loser was sworn into office. For example, Sarasota, Florida, where 18,000 votes just simply disappeared in the computer machines.
Now, speaking of Florida, we have a caller, Dan in Menominee Falls, who wanted to talk about something going on there. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Florida 2000 election. The guest, I think, conveniently forgot to include this information. Democratic
okay.
Party had attorneys there who were attempting to kill the incoming overseas vote from U.S. military personnel, and also Democratic operatives only wanted the three counties that they controlled recounted for, and they're making it in their best interest. That's fairness, as we describe the Democratic Party. We want to include that in part of a revisionist history.
All right, well, a couple things. Number one, I'm not the lawyer for the Democratic Party. I don't. Like I say, I'm not flacking for them. They have a lot to answer to. The other thing is the Democratic Party did not, in the end, block the military vote. As I just told you, read our Madhouse, look at the list. They targeted the guys like Randy Prowse, the naval airmen, the Republicans in 2004. They had hit lists of tens of thousands of soldiers, legal voters, that they blocked from voting, that never got a lick of news outside of Europe and Latin America, where I report, and it's there. That's what they don't want to answer. By the way, Tim Griffin said that if he asked about these reports of the attacking the military vote by Karl Rove, that he will resign. He said, if you ask a question, I resign, which just suggests to me that maybe there ought to be some questions. But The idea that, well, Al Gore, I don't care what Al Gore's legal strategy was. I mean, my issue is, do we count all the votes? And I disagreed with Gore. I think you count all the votes everywhere, all the time. And that was one of the problems.
Let me, I'm going to switch topics since we have a caller, Mark in Richland
Good.
Center on Latin America. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Mm. I've been doing a lot of reading on actual true democracy in places. However, it's not making it into the press, and so I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, and maybe if you know anything about the Mondragon Cooperative Network out of Spain, you could address the issue of true democracy and how elections have been held in Venezuela, and you could also maybe address the issue of worker rights and the worker security that's been afforded to people that are working for the Mondragon Cooperative Network.
Okay. Once again, we turn to chapter chapter three of our manhouse, the network. There's a chapter in the book called The Assassination of Hugo Chavez. President Hugo and I been joking about his coming assassination. You got to have some humor about it.
I guess he has a sense of humor, huh?
He tried to steal my fedora. He calls me Dick Tracy. We both have a similar sense of humor. Yeah, what happened in Venezuela, of course, is that the U.S. government believes, or the Bush administration believes, that everyone should have the right to vote as long as they vote how the way Karl Rove wants them to. And of course, Hugo Chavez is wildly popular in Venezuela, which is why he wins elections. And as one of his opponents said, well, you know, he gives the poor, he gives them bricks and bread. Well, yeah, I guess that'll make you popular. The White House said, just because someone wins the majority of the vote does not make their government legitimate. This is from the victor of Florida and Ohio. Chavez, and I don't, I'm not in love with any politicians anywhere. I think it's dangerous. But he has done some very extraordinary things. Mainly, we have a bunch of oil nations around this planet where the leaders simply pocket the loot and everyone else suffers. Nigeria, which has as much oil wealth as Venezuela, is on fire and suffering. Kazakhstan, the president there, as a note in the book, he pocketed $160 million and put it in a Swiss bank account, money he got from Mobil Corporation and others. In the United States, we're an oil-producing nation. The five biggest oil companies earned $120 billion last year. I have a chapter called Trillion Dollar Babies, and that's what that is. Why don't we get a piece of that action? Why are we paying instead of receiving? This is our oil money and our oil wealth. We're the only nation in the world which doesn't have a windfall profits tax. I mean, as I write about Iraq, when Bill Clinton was president, oil was $20 a barrel. Now it's over $50 a barrel, which means it's mission accomplished in Iraq. It's kept the price of oil up.
Yeah.
Now, the question of real democracy, we could talk about Spain, but I'd rather kind of talk about places like Michigan where we've lost. And workers' rights. One of the real issues here is class war. Taking away people's vote is as much a class issue as a racial or political issue. It's disempowering people. This is how we even things up in America: is we even up votes against dollars. If you take away the vote, that's a class issue. And one of the things I'm trying to write about in our madhouse is what is happening in terms of taking away the power of working people to even the score, to make this a fair nation. We have been the light unto the nations, America. Believe me, when you go around the world, don't believe the hype. Actually, people love Americans, which you may be surprised to hear. They don't love the regime.
Yeah.
And the reason that they love Americans is that this has been the land of opportunity, and I'm worried that that's what's going out the window.
Well, we're almost out of time, and I had a couple of callers who called in to say that the Pat Robertson Law School is accredited by the American Bar Association, saying that you said
it
was.
It is.
Yeah, so you didn't say it wasn't, right?
No, in fact. Okay. Like I say, I've investigated Robertson and this whole operation. I mean, what it is a big profit center. One thing that Robertson is, as Pat Robertson said to me, I'm not a televangelist. I'm a businessman, and that's exactly right. It's a business, and it's also in the business of placing people of influence. I mean, So Bush came in and he picked the guys that reflected his views.
Well, Greg, our listeners like to stick to one topic usually, so that's why I let him except for that last caller. So
single-minded.
Yeah.
There is a chapter on Iraq, guys. There's a war on. No one has a question about it. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't mean to insult your narrow-minded listeners. No, no.
No,
I mean,
no. They
focus,
like it.
Oh, focus, just, not narrow-minded. Right. I said that wrong.
They like to. We are. We're
we
in depth. We're
no,
in
I,
depth
I
on one issue.
Look,
so
democracy is one of those topics that kind of whips me up too.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to having you in Madison this Sunday.
I hope so, and you better keep that good weather there. That's wonderful. I'll be with Laura Flanders, by the way, will be joining me from Fairness Accuracy in Reporting, the brilliant Laura Flanders. And so, yeah, I'll see you at the Barrymore
All right.
in Madison.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Greg Pallast, his newest book, it's updated, a paperback version with some new chapters, Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sword Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.